I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Along with Embo, future baseball Hall of Famer in his mind, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny. Today we are presented by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. All right, you heard Christine Lisi discussing it. Want to give you some updates here. Adam Schefter has put out there Russell Wilson visiting Friday with the Steelers, and he spoke with the Giants on Thursday. League sources, I'm reading per Schefter, have described the session with the Giants as an exploratory meeting. Wilson is expected to meet with other teams, including possibly the Las Vegas Raiders. Three teams linked by Adam Schefter to Russell Wilson. One meeting has already occurred, and a second meeting is on the docket for today. And you still want to say, Hembo, there's no market for this man?
A robust market for this man. This future Hall of Fame quarterback, to steal words from your mouth.
You don't think he's a Hall of Famer?
I do not think that Russell Wilson is a Hall of Famer.
Are you going to tell me that Josh Allen's a Hall of Famer?
I think he's on a Hall of Fame track.
Okay, I'm okay with that. I'm curious.
Is a bit of a left turn, but after 10 years, I think Russell Wilson could have retired, never played a down for the Broncos, and gotten in the Hall of Fame. But I think the last 2 years have been so destructive that he may have played his way out of it, if that's even possible.
That is one of the worst takes I've ever heard in my life. You can play your way out of the Hall of Fame?
Well, I mean, Russell Wilson, over the course of the first 10 years of his career, was, relatively speaking, one of the more accomplished players in the history of the sport. Like, the 9 playoff wins, the Super Bowl, the 2 appearances, only Peyton Manning had ever thrown more touchdowns than him. Peyton Manning, the only quarterback to win more games in his first 10 seasons than Russell Wilson. And so at that juncture, I would have said Russell Wilson could have retired and been a Hall of Famer. But what has since happened is terribly destructive to his Hall of Fame case. He was, if not the worst, one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL in 2022 in a disaster zone. And last year, he was a 21st ranked quarterback in the NFL and hated so much by Sean Payton, the potential Hall of Fame coach, that they'd rather pay him $85 million to play for someone else or for no one else than to be their quarterback. So I think Russell Wilson is now sort of swimming upstream when it comes to his Hall of Fame candidacy.
I mean, you may be right about the last point, but I mean, if you think that you can get in and you're in, you've done enough, and then you add to your career, like...
No, he subtracted from his career.
I'm saying you add years to your career. Sorry.
Sure.
I understand what you're saying. I think that is so unbelievably unfair because it's perception. It's not reality. Because the last year in Seattle wasn't perfect. And yet this year, we look at it, and it's 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions for a team that was one game under 500. We're making this
out to be... He got benched.
I understand there. Peyton Manning got benched for Brock Osweiler.
Don't compare apples to oranges. Peyton Manning is 5 times the quarterback.
I understand that, but I'm saying to use the bench...
It was also the last year of his career.
And I don't believe that Russell Wilson would have been benched if he was a free agent after that season.
Maybe not.
If Russell Wilson had no money on his contract after this past season, do you think he would have been benched?
Probably not.
So he wasn't necessarily benched as much as he was strategically placed on the side.
Fair point.
What?
Fair point.
I don't know what you just said.
Why did you just say it in an accent?
I don't know why. I just did the Francesa for like 2 words for no reason when we weren't even doing that.
I don't know what happened here. I really have no idea.
Fair point.
Okay. This is Greeny coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose.
The list is what determines who matters in this business.
Green list, number 5.
Number 5, in terms of the free agent signings that I want to see, the 5 free agent signings that should happen. Number 5 is Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith to the Jets. Tyron Smith was a second team All-Pro last year for the Dallas Cowboys. They're not going to bring him back because they can't afford him. The Jets, meanwhile, have approximately 0 offensive linemen that they can trust heading into next season. And you can definitely add in the draft, but you can't solidify in the draft. You need an anchor playing left tackle, protecting 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers' blindside. So I say, Tyron Smith to the Jets. What say you?
Makes sense. Totally makes sense. I, from the Jets' perspective, I don't know why you'd sign with the Jets if you're Tyron Smith unless they gave you the top dollar by a lot. The Jets to me are not an attractive option. Sorry, Brandon. I know you're a Jets fan over there, but they're just not an attractive option. I have no idea if Aaron Rodgers is actually going to be there after this season. If he is, I don't know if I want him there if I'm a teammate of his. I don't understand why I'd be attracted to go to the New York Jets right now. I'm sorry. I think that more people are going to be staying away unless the Jets overpay. And I don't think if I'm Tyron Smith, that's a place
okay,
I want to
go. Okay, so you're only going there if they're going to pay 150 cents on the dollar.
Yep.
Fair enough.
I think that's where I'm going. Next.
Number four, Cam.
Number four.
Number four is Derrick Henry to the Chargers.
Yep, this one I'm in.
Great. Let me sell you even though I don't need to sell you. So he's going to play this season at 30. Now, he is no longer the explosive player he was in his prime. But he is absolutely still a battering ram that can absorb contact. He led the NFL last year in rushing yards after contact, and he is the perfect, the ideal under-center back that Jim Harbaugh likes using in that traditional hardball, play-action offense. What say you?
Totally, 1,000% agree. I also want to bring in another name on this, not as high-profile, obviously, as Harbaugh or Herbert or Henry. It's a lot of Triple H.
Oh, I got a great nickname. Wonderful.
Wow, nobody's ever used Triple H before, but Harbaugh, Herbert, and Henry? That's great.
Your nickname rules, your three nickname rules.
That's amazing. That's Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, who has publicly said, when asked, what do you need to do to help Justin Herbert? He said, run the ball, which raised some antennas. Why? Austin Eckler's been a pretty damn good running back in his career, but not the kind of running back they want. Think back to his days with the Ravens, Bills, etc. He wants to beat you up. He wants the running back on his team to beat you up if you're playing defense against them. So, yes, all in on that one. Next one.
Number three.
Number three is Saquon Barkley to the Texans. Now, Saquon is going to be relatively expensive, at least by running back standards, but that's why you pair him with a rookie quarterback. C.J. Stroud's only going to count $30 million against your cap over the next three seasons. Meanwhile, 28% of the Texans' offense last year came from the run game. That was the third lowest rate in the NFL. They were badly outmanned in the run game in that playoff loss to Baltimore. I think Saquon Barkley to the Texans, that's the team that has the most to gain by signing him. What say you?
So I asked Dan Graziano this morning, ESPN NFL reporter, on Sportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. What team, if he could only find out information from that team, you had to eliminate all other 31 teams this offseason, and you can only be embedded basically with one team, you want to know what they're doing, which team would you pick? And he said the Houston Texans.
What was his logic?
Tons of cap space, a rookie quarterback, and a first-time head coach that are clearly going to be really successful. And he wants to know whether or not they're going to act like the Bengals acted when they realized, oh, we hit big with Joe Burrow. Now is the time to strike when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal. So Dan was saying, I want to know if Chris Jones doesn't work out with the Chiefs, are they going to just throw a ton of money at him? Saquon would obviously be one of those things that you, one of those players in that scenario that you'd look at. Do they act like a win now team? I am totally good with that if I am the Texans. Question though, in return for you, once you're a star in New York, can you go to Houston's a huge market. It's not as flashy as New York, necessarily. Does he want to go to L.A.? Does he want to go to Dallas with the Cowboys? You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
I wonder if he... Because he's seemingly a great guy who's not actually flashy, but has been around that flashy environment now for a while.
He seems very conscious of his place in the football universe. But Saquon Barkley has played for an absolutely terrible franchise the last few years. I mean, the Giants, with the exception of the 2022 season, have been dreadful during his tenure. The opportunity to go play for a winner, albeit in Houston, is, I think, a trade-off that he would be willing to make if they sell him on, you come here, you win.
And they could be rock stars.
No doubt.
If it was Stroud and Saquon, like, they could turn that situation into a rock star-type status.
SS. HHH and SS.
Next.
Number two.
Number two is Kirk Cousins to the Falcons.
We're not going to do it with this one.
Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. Now, Kirk Cousins has become something of a punchline, but it's true that when he got hurt last year, he was on pace for nearly 5,000 yards and nearly 40 touchdown passes. There is an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the weapons in Atlanta. Bijan Robinson has a chance to be a top five running back in the NFL. Drake London and Kyle Pitts were both top 10 picks who have been egregiously underutilized at the beginning of their career. Kirk Cousins doesn't take you to the promised land, but he can at least pull you out of the depths of despair. And that is what the Atlanta Falcons quarterback room has been the last couple of years. You put him on that team, not only do I consider them the favorite to win the NFC South, but I think you could dream up a scenario in which they could actually advance in the playoffs. What say you?
I'm in. Good. No convincing. He's a top 10 quarterback statistically when he plays. People don't like to think of him that way because they don't like him as a top 10 guy, but the reality is, when he plays football, over the course of the time as a starter, Kirk Cousins has been someone that statistically is always in the top 10 of the sport. If you're the Atlanta Falcons and you can get a guaranteed contract, which you're going to have to give him a lot, with Kirk Cousins, you make yourself significantly better. No issues with that. I'm in. Next.
Number one.
Number one is Russell Wilson to the Steelers.
No, you can't do this. You can't sit there and destroy the possibility of Russell Wilson as a starting quarterback and a market for and the market around him. And we are doing the green list with the top five free agent signings that Hembo wants to see. No, you don't get to do this. Pick something else.
No, I want to see him fail in Pittsburgh.
Oh, my God.
So what did he do to you?
Let me see.
Yeah, Cam asked a great question.
Russell Wilson did nothing to me. I think Russell Wilson is I think his play is being overstated because of shallow statistics from last season. But I'm going to, in good faith...
Overstated how? Saying he's a capable starting quarterback that could be top 20 in the league?
I have heard people cite the fact that he was 8th in passer rating, the fact that he had a top 5 touchdown to interception ratio, and things that aren't actually that indicative of high-level quarterback play. But I'm going to do the exercise and tell you why I think Pittsburgh is the best landing spot for Russell Wilson. My biases aside, the reasons are these. First and foremost, Mike Tomlin is one of the few coaches in the NFL who has the gravitas to coach the Russell Wilson out of Russell Wilson. To convince Russell Wilson that you are one of 53 and not one of one, the way that you so eloquently put it earlier. Secondly, Arthur Smith runs an offense that does major in the things that Russell Wilson still can do reasonably well.
Which are,
let me put him under center, not in play action, and let him major in, excuse me, not in the shotgun, and secondly, let him major in play action. You put Russell Wilson under center, run that hardball play action with Najee Harris, with Jalen Warren, and with, on the outside, the weapons that they do have, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, that's actually an environment with an improving offensive line in which you could dream up a scenario in which Russell Wilson could be resurrected because the head coach, I trust, and I think would be a good match. The offensive coordinator does the stuff that Russell Wilson can still fake, and there are five legitimate good skill players along that offense, and you're also going to be blocked fairly well. They just had the best O-line season they've had in quite some time. That is why I think, despite the fact that we'd have to beat out Kenny Pickett for the job, Pittsburgh would be the best landing spot for Russell Wilson. What say you?
Well, yeah, I'm in on that. I'm just beyond uncomfortable with you trying to make a positive case because I think it's done tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, very much so.
I think you are only rooting for his demise. And Cam asked the proper question as to what did he do to you. I am now rooting so hard for this guy this year, and I would love to see him succeed.
Russell Wilson's done. Russell Wilson is cooked. The same argument was employed by people across this network during the very end of the Carson Wentz time. Carson Wentz and Russell Wilson have a lot in common. They both forgot how to play football towards the end. If you are taking 100 sacks across two seasons, it doesn't just mean you hold on to the ball too long. It means you can't see the field anymore.
I understand, but Hembo, I know you think you're going into the Baseball Hall of Fame, but do you also now think you're going into the Football Hall of Fame? Because Adam Schefter is reporting literally right now the three teams are in on him. One, the Giants, has already met with him. He's meeting with Pittsburgh today, and Las Vegas is waiting in the wings. So you're just telling me that a guy who's done, that three teams are making a mistake, even kicking the tires on.
I think that Russell Wilson is done as being anything aside from a replacement-level quarterback.
Then he's not done. He's done as you knew him. He's not actually done. Cam Newton, unfortunately for Cam, is done. He's not in this league. Carson Wentz actually was in the league last year, but as we knew him with the Rams for a minute, he is done. So again, you are a stickler on context and detail and information. I don't like that we're continuously saying Russell Wilson is done.
Russell Wilson is done being Russell Wilson. That's the best way I can put it. After 10 years in a place where they know him intimately, they could not get rid of him fast enough. The things you would hear from people that knew him and about the situation in Seattle were super unflattering. Let's be honest. The last 2 years in Denver were a disaster. Full stop. You see his play as being a little bit more promising than I do. But you can't look at the facts on the ground over the last 3 years and try and convince me that Russell Wilson can still be the quarterback of a playoff team.
You just made the case that he's going to be. The Pittsburgh Steelers have a winning record every single year with 13 touchdowns and 9 interceptions last year and horrific quarterback play. They made the playoffs. So all he needs to do is be a little bit better than that, and they need to be the same, and they potentially could make the playoffs. Tune into NBA action tomorrow night. Suns and the Celtics presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up, not an exaggeration, we might have seen the play of the entire NBA season last night. We'll tell you what that is and why we think that next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
The rebound of the Pacers. They don't call a timeout. Halliburton, the hit ahead. Nesmith with it. Dribbles in. Shot blocked. Oh, my goodness. What a rejection by Anthony Edwards to save the game. 113-111. Wolves win. Wolves win. Anthony Edwards. Oh, my. What a block.
That is an understatement. Courtesy of K-Fan Sports Radio in Minnesota, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. Of course, normally you hear me with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, joins us now to talk a little hoops. Bobby, in all of your years in and around the league, have you ever seen someone hit their head on the rim on a blocked shot like Anthony Edwards did?
Never. I can't believe he didn't break his wrist on that play, too, because the fall also, how he landed there was remarkable. He was terrific the whole game, but the last, 218 of the game offensively basically took over. And then, as you mentioned, the block at the end to win the game, a much needed win with Karl Anthony Towns now out for a while, and they're on the road for the next five games here. Trying to hold on to that number one seed in the Western Conference. But I thought, you know, it's funny. I'm watching it and I'm thinking that's a $41 million block. And why I say that is that Edwards has got all NBA criteria in his contract. It's an extra $41 million if he earns all NBA, and we can take Towns off the race for all NBA because he's not going to hit that 65 game criteria.
That is an amazing way of putting it, because those are the moments. I mean, if you think about it, Like the moments over the
That's
last
how my
few...
mind's triggered.
No, I love it. I love the way, and by the way, that gets me to think, has Carl Anthony Towns, if he doesn't come back this year, played his last game in Minnesota because of where the tax would be if you're adding the Supermax with Anthony Edwards there, we probably just went too far. But you get the overall point is amazing by you because that's one of those moments. Like the moments like that matter in the voting. And I think that's what a lot of people, Bobby, are saying about Jason Tatum over the last three games. Has he hurt himself now, MVP, all a world, all NBA, et cetera, with what we've seen with the Celtics the last few games?
I didn't think, you know, listen, Tatum will be up there top 10. I think it would, you know, probably maybe crack top five. I didn't have him up there where Jokic is or Shea or Luka. I mean, listen, voters are going to look at clutch time moments, 32% in clutch games this year. Ranks 28th out of 29th players with 45 field goal attempts or more in the clutch, and wasn't good last night. You know, certainly for how I thought good Denver played, they had a chance to, you know, go up one with the Tatum three in the corner, wide open three here. So that I think that will factor. That will certainly factor in here. I thought he would have to go on a really crazy run over the next 20 games to overtake. Nikola and even Shea in that mix there.
Bobby, are the Celtics missing something as it relates to winning a title?
Somebody that can guard Jokic. Somebody that I think all the other 29 teams. I thought there were some positives last night in the Denver game here. I thought Jaylen Brown was terrific. Listen, if you're going to beat Denver and you're going to win an NBA championship, Brown and Tatum have to be on their A game. One can't have a C-minus type game. A little concerned with their bench. You get outscored 28-10. I thought Denver bench was really good last night. Horford didn't really give you much. Porzingis 9-for-23, two threes out of 2-for-7 here. So I think the Eastern Conference allows you to figure things out. If they were in the Western Conference, it's a steel cage match getting out of the first round or second round. But in the Eastern Conference, it's basically all these teams are losing guys. Who honestly can say, you know, unless we're talking about Milwaukee, who got their butts kicked in the other night in Golden State, who's a legitimate threat to them right now in the Eastern Conference?
Well, based on that question, maybe I'm looking at this backwards. If you told me in a 7-game series, could the Celtics lose two? Could they lose to Milwaukee? In my mind, yes. I've seen them lose to Miami. I think that playing the Knicks early would be a disaster for them just because the wear and tear, and I don't know what Philadelphia is going to be. I'm probably maybe underrating Boston. I'm just not 100% sold that in those moments when everything gets tighter that they're the team that can do that.
No, and that's a good point. I mean, listen, we saw it last year in the Miami series. We saw the year before in Golden State, you know, basically having control of the series at home. And then kind of faltering there. I think they'll benefit from, you know, whoever they get as the 8th seed here, where these other teams are, you know, basically in a grudge match. If they get Indiana, you know, who we'll see what happens with the Pacers or maybe Chicago, one of those teams there where, you know, it's almost like what they did last year. You got to get through the series quick. You know, it's basically kind of survive in advance and see, you know, and make sure there's no injuries here. But yeah, I mean, until they prove it in a big moment, and what's a big moment? Getting out of the Eastern Conference against maybe a Miami or Milwaukee or winning an NBA championship, there's always going to be questions about, as far as can this group do it?
Bobby, earlier in the show today, Evan posited that he thinks that in all of sports, there's a greater pressure on the Celtics this year to at least get to the NBA Finals, if not win it, because of what it could subsequently mean, whether it be the job status of Joe Mazzulla, the potential separation of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You've run an NBA team. You've done this before. If they fail to do that, if they lose in the Final Four, say, again this season, do you think there's a meaningful chance that one or two of those three people is not back in Boston next year?
Could be. I mean, I think certainly, it's hard taking a step back, especially when you're going to win probably 60 games this year. And if you lose in an Eastern Conference Finals or an NBA Finals, it's like, do we want to split up Brown and Tatum? I think that the big thing will be if your ownership, you know, where the rules are going to be. You know, I think the only thing that's going to break up this team is finances. Because eventually you're going to have to pay Derek White, right? I mean, he'll be going into the last year of his contract. He's extension eligible. Do you want to pay him four for 120? The Tatum is supermax eligible this offseason. Five for 304 is the number. The 288 Jaylen Brown contract kicks in this year. Like, the things catch up here. And I've been part of teams where, you know, if you're not advancing far enough in the playoffs here, ownership says, well, can we save an extra $100 million if we take a step back and if maybe we're a $50 million team here? So I think that will be certainly on the table. I think certainly when you have a, you know, the coach is always the easier thing, you know, to go in a different direction here, to try to break up the roster. But if you lose in the conference finals and you lose in the NBA finals, you're certainly probably evaluating kind of, you know, the job performance of your head coach.
Along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny here on ESPN Radio, joined by Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. If Denver loses in the Western Conference playoffs before the finals, who would they lose to in your mind?
Phoenix. I mean, I liked what Phoenix did the other night. I mean, and that's a big if. You know, they got to get through, you know, with the big three healthy. I thought they did something with, you know, the ability to turn over Jokic. I think Nicole had seven turnovers. It wasn't a clean game. Basically, Denver was fighting uphill the whole game and basically kind of ran out of gas, and then Durant turned it on. I think the firepower in with the Suns have, whether it be, a 3-6 matchup, they've got three big time closers here. So I think out of any of those teams in that back end, in that maybe past the five range, I think it would be the Suns.
Bobby, let's talk about what you and Dave McManaman wrote about on ESPN.com, ESPN Plus, about LeBron's next contract, what it could look like and what it means for his future in LA.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's going to be a decision from both sides here. He's got a $51 million player option that he's got until June 29th. He can only sign for 3 years and a new contract because of the over 38, three for 162. It's a huge number. I mean, it's a monster number. What gets us in trouble, and I know this is LeBron James, is we pay for the past and not what the future is going to be. And certainly where he is performance-wise, he's still playing at a high level. But, man, you lock him in for 51 and then 55 and then $60 million, your resources outside of, you know, internally becomes more challenging for a team that's fighting just to get into the play-in. And I know, there's been a lot of being made, like they'll have three first-round picks come the night of the draft. The reality is that they're still sitting at the kids' table when we're talking about draft equity. You know, because there's eight teams out there that have more than what the Lakers can offer if a disgruntled all-star becomes available here. So, but at the other end, what's the options outside of the Lakers for LeBron? You know, he's going to be 40 years old in December. Does he want to chase a fifth championship and relocate to Philly or Oklahoma City or some of these other playoff-level teams or force a sign and trade here? So I think all of that will get flushed out over the next, 3 months here. But there's going to be some decisions here as far as how long a contract. Certainly a Sun plays into it, I would think. You know, do you want to do maybe a 1+1 where you become a free agent next offseason if Bronny James becomes, if he stays in it, goes back to USC and becomes draft eligible in 25?
There's also the more immediate part of this, that when you look at the 9-10 matchup in the West and a play-in with LeBron would be a part of, LeBron and Steph both hurt right now. Should we be worried about both of them in terms of their ankle injuries?
Well, it's funny because we talk about it all the time. Like, who's more dangerous, the Lakers or the Warriors? And like, well, wait a minute, one of those teams is not even going to get out of the 9-10 game, right? Like, that's the reality. And I think the teams in front of them, Dallas had a really good win. Sacramento, has won a couple in a row. If they create some separation, then yeah, we're going to be staring at a Golden State Laker winner take all just to get into another play-in to get to the first round and face Denver or OKC or Minnesota or the Clippers, perhaps.
Bobby, let's finish with this. In terms of team building, roster construction, the way in which Oklahoma City has gone about it is obviously probably a study in itself, right? Like, if there will be books written about that and the way in which they've gone about it. Do you think other teams will now use them as a copycat and just somebody saying, hey, give us Ben Simmons Nets for a future pick, yeah, we'll take him, et cetera, et cetera?
I think yes, but it's so hard to do because what they would want to copycat is the draft equity that they've been able to accumulate here. I call it the Bank of Sam Presti, right? Where you basically, if you want a first round pick, you go to Sam Presti and he basically gives you a loan as far as a future first and everything. And what Oklahoma City has been able to do is that, you know, with this new CBA, and it's going to get expensive, right? With Chet and Jalen Williams and then Shea eventually here, they have the resources to continually draft well, develop players when Josh Giddey becomes expensive and Kayson Wallace is going to basically fill in, or that pick in 2025 that they can continually churn it out. And yeah, that's the way to do it. People had said Indiana is the right way to do it. Two max guys, build out a really good bench, but that might get you to the first round and lose in the first round here. So yeah, I mean, Oklahoma City is the blueprint here. But as I said, like, to be able to build up that draft equity that they've been able to do, you know, San Antonio is trying to do with all these draft picks and try to build a roster around Victor. Same with Utah. You know, New York's kind of in a little bit of a different situation here, but yeah, I mean, Oklahoma City is the blueprint as far as how you would like to do it.
Bobby, great job as always. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. Hembo, I want to ask you about this in terms of team building, because I have said many of times that I believe baseball is the best sport to actually tank in, that we have seen more proven results in that sport than any other sport in recent memory, right? Astros bottomed out, Cubs bottomed out.
The Orioles recently, they won 100 games last year.
Yeah, so I think there's more evidence, which is ironic because you can't actually trade picks in baseball, correct?
Not until recently.
Right, so
very recently.
That wasn't a part of the team-building strategy. My issue with team-building in terms of tanking or ripping it apart, you even made the reference today about the Giants. You thought they're going absolutely nowhere and that we had the discussion, should they just rip everything down and tear it down? It's job security. The same people that usually are tearing it down are not the same people that are usually building it back up. So the evolution of strategy becomes a different person in that role. The beauty of Oklahoma City sitting there as two seed in the Western Conference with the chance of having potentially Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as the MVP is that the same person who tore it down is the same person who was bringing it back up in Sam Presti. More times than not, that does not happen. In your Giants scenario, which you weren't saying full tank, but let's just play it out, Joe Shane is a general manager. If he were to be the one to tear it down, he's going to get fired.
Yeah. Most owners lack the patience to actually allow an executive or a front office group to see something all the way to fruition. I'm a fan of the Philadelphia teams, as you know. And Cam, you can attest to this. The trust the process that the 76ers endured for so long wound up being a 3 or 4 GM job.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it wound for multiple reasons,
yes,
but it
of course
still did bear itself out.
And more bad picks than good picks.
More bad picks than good picks, more bad decisions than good decisions. The reason it's so hard to get right in the NBA is that you're so incredibly reliant on like one player, one pick working out. In the Sixers case, if they wind up taking Jason Tatum instead of Markelle Fultz, who knows what the present would look like? Very unfamiliar to what it actually is,
right?
Whereas in other sports, in baseball at least in particular, you can attack tanking with volume and you can invest a lot more dollars into the future. It's also not a salary cap sport.
So I'll give you another one in the NFL. Like if you actually think and take a step back and look at the Denver Broncos, right? This is circling back to what is the breaking news of the day that Russell Wilson had visited with an exploratory conversation per Adam Schefter with the New York Giants and is now en route to Pittsburgh for a meeting with the Steelers, and potentially the Raiders could be in the mix as well. Denver, because of the move they made for Russell Wilson, that even if I'm a fan of his, I can acknowledge that was not a good move, obviously, gave up tons of assets and resources and also have tons of cap money on their books. Because of it, go see Justin Simmons, who was released safety yesterday. As a result, there'll be more to come there. I believe they should tank. I believe they should take every single person on their roster that they deem to be pretty good and see what the value is for that person around the league right now. Because when you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh and maybe whatever the Raiders are going to be this year, you're going to be in last place. You're going to be in last place unintentionally. I'd rather be in last place intentionally. The question then becomes, if I'm in last place intentionally, do I get to be in first place intentionally in the years to come? And recent memory and recent examples have been, no, you don't get both. You can't tear it down and then build it back up. Sam Hinkie with the Sixers, who you're referencing, is the perfect example. They've had Sam Hinkie, they've had Brian Colangelo, they've had Elton Brand, and now Daryl Morey. It's all part of the trust the process. So the team building part is very interesting here. You can tune into college basketball action tomorrow as number 1 Houston hosts number 14 Kansas, presented by Robinhood. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up, we got Who You Got. That is after this from Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by today.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Greeny, the podcast.
Yeah. I know this song. This song is what Billy Wagner came out to when he closed for the Phillies. This is Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses.
Wow!
I got to stop finding Phillies songs here.
What are you doing?
We were told that the last time you did this, it ended up being Chase Utley's walk-up song. So Bubba's not doing his Phillies research here, because that's the only chance that Hembo has at these.
What's it, Callum Scott? Is that it? What's his name?
Dancing on My Own,
Dancing
the remix.
Dancing on My Own, yeah. Do you know what we're talking about?
Yes, that's been the Phillies, clubhouse celebration song the last two.
It's originally a Robin song.
He doesn't know John Lennon. You think he's going to know Robin?
Robin.
That's just who it's by.
Robin Hood?
But the remix, the Callum Scott version, is the Phillies.
I don't know
Callum. Pump up song.
I don't know Callum Scott.
That's
either.
Who sings the song that we're talking about.
But I know the song because they play it in the stadium.
It's a Tiesto remix. Is that right, Cam?
I believe so. Yeah.
I don't know anything about anything like that.
But you are somehow, I believe, basically 2.5. You've got it. Basically, everyone right. You got this right, the Chase Utley one right, and you got half credit from the Michael Jackson one.
Do we have a minute to get a couple of updates, guys, on Hembo's trip to the Hall of Fame tomorrow?
Make it fast, but yes.
Okay.
I can go fast.
All right. Who's driving?
My friend Greg will drive.
What do you do in the car?
We will play some modification of sports trivia or drafting for the entire 3.5-hour trip.
Okay. When you get there, do you guys go out or you just like watch old baseball
we
stuff?
We stay in. We watch old World Series games on YouTube, and we order in food.
I'm done. I can't go further than this. This is
you
remarkable.
Said you were going to a brewery.
We might go to a brewery tomorrow night, depending on what time we get there, but I'm going to try and talk them out of that.
And who picks the old World Series game and why?
We rotate who gets to do it. We do a draft of sorts to choose
like
who gets to do the game.
Family movie night.
And do you score the game?
No.
Okay, you don't score the game? All right.
That's
wow.
Way too far.
Not electronically.
That'd be ridiculous.
ESPN Bet is now live as the official sportsbook of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all of your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all of the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What apply? Must be 21 plus. Present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right. I'll say it.
Who you got?
Bubba.
All right, who you got? Brought to you by Grainger. And tomorrow, we got a good one right here on ESPN Radio. Some college basketball. Number 14, Kansas at number 1, Houston. 4 o'clock. It's on ESPN. It's on ESPN Radio. Who you got in this one?
I have Houston. Number 1 in the country. Calvin Sampson's a phenomenal coach. I'm going Houston.
So do I. Houston got mopped the last time they played Kansas. That game was at Kansas. This game's in Houston. BPI has Houston as a 14-point favorite, believe it or not. Kansas, 3-6 on the road this season. I like Houston, and I like Houston to cover the number wherever that number lands.
KOD brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. Bubba.
tomorrow as well. Nighttime, Celtics Suns, 8:30 ABC, also on ESPN Radio. Who you got in this one?
I'm going to take the Celtics, not because I'm a believer in them. I just can't see them losing three games in a row right now. That feels like a lot. So I'm going to go with the Celtics at the Suns to get the win there.
So do I. Phoenix does not have the requisite answers on defense to contain the Celtics' firepower right now. I'm with you. They're not going to put together three bad games in a row. I expect Jason Tatum to rebound nicely, have 30 points in this game, and for the Celtics to win outright.
Bye.
Who you got? Brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. It's daylight saving time on Saturday night. Saving, singular. Where do you stand on daylight saving time? Are you one of these guys who you hate it? You want one time zone for everything? What are you guys on this one? Who you got?
I would be fine with one time zone, but I also think like we can have the time zones without having daylight savings. I just don't understand all of it. I'm sure Hembo is going to give me a reason back to the farmers in the 1800s as to why we have this, but I just don't get it. So I'm out on daylight savings.
So daylight savings is obviously dated and no longer necessary for all the obvious reasons, but I'm not the kind of person that becomes emotional about it. Greeny feels very strongly. I'm not gonna become outraged over something that is not outrageous. I have no issue with it. The hardest thing to do for me is always to figure out how to reset the time on my microwave. So I usually ask my wife to figure that out.
Clock, and then just hit numbers, and then AM PM.
But it's not always that simple. You don't have the same appliances as I do.
I probably do.
I don't think we do.
Okay.
I don't think we have the same appliances.
We'll have to FaceTime and see our appliances later.
148 years ago yesterday, Alexander Graham Bell was granted a patent for the telephone. Good job, Al. How long could you go without your phone? Who you got?
About 4 seconds. I'm admittedly, I don't want to say addicted because that's a medical term. I am... beyond,
I mean, I think you are.
Yeah.
I think we all are.
Yeah, I can't.
I mean, if you're saying
you're allowed to use that
seconds,
term.
Yeah, I think we can say addicted.
I mean, I'm not.
It's you here. Loser.
Yeah.
I don't like this question. This question is way too depressing.
Well, I don't. It's not that I talk on it constantly. I mean, I do, but like Twitter, text.
It's just a habit. It's always in your hand.
I refresh Twitter every 4 seconds on the air.
Yeah, so when I was on my lengthy paternity leave over the summer, I hardly use my phone at all, but when I'm working, I'm always connected to it. What I did not know in reading from his Wikipedia page is that Alexander Graham Bell co-founded AT&T in 1885. I had no idea the company was that old.
Me neither.
That's wild.
How refreshing was it to be unplugged like that, genuinely?
I'm sure very.
No, I'm asking
you.
On what? Your paternity
he's not,
leave.
He's not asking
was it refreshing?
For Alexander Graham Bell.
I thought you were asking me to put myself in Graham Bell's shoes.
So you just put himself in his refreshing? Wikipedia page.
OAGB?
It was magnificent. I just to hang out with my kids but without having access to my phone, basically, which is what I tried to do for 4 months, was awesome. And then I came back to work.
What were you answering for? What was Alexander Graham Bell being refreshing for?
I thought Cam was asking what it was like for Alexander Graham Bell to be so unplugged
before he invented AT&T.
Before there were plugs?
He wouldn't be plugged.
Yeah. Before he
there's
could
no
get plugged.
Plugging. It's just unplugged.
My interpretation of that question was absolutely awful.
Yes.
I was just asking you a question. You thought I was asking Alexander Graham Bell a question through you.
Why would I think that first?
Hembo thought he did PR for Alexander Graham Bell. Let me answer this for you, please, if I could.
Let's try this one. Yesterday was National Cereal Day. Who you got for your favorite cereal?
All right, I'm going to get destroyed, but I love Golden Grahams.
Why is that destroyable? Is that a destroyable take?
Yeah, because it's not like a fun one. It's just like kind of almost borderline healthy-ish. And so, I don't know. I've always liked Golden Grahams.
Do you still eat cereal at all?
No, I can't even remember the last time I
eat cereal a lot.
Really?
What do you choose?
Usually like Honey Bunches of Oats, something like that. That's pretend healthy, but is actually more sugary than any of them.
What kind of milk do you use with it?
Just like 1 or 2%.
1 or 2%?
Yeah. I know like, you know.
You're a skim milk guy?
Oat milk and all that is all the rage.
I don't drink milk at all. And I have not eaten cereal since I was a child.
I don't know that I have ever heard somebody ask a question in a more condescending way than I just heard Hembo ask, what kind of milk do you drink?
Yeah, that was
it
tough.
Was like so
like there was a wrong answer.
How dare you?
What kind of milk do you think Alexander Graham Bell drank?
Like the kind of guy that drinks 1% milk, so I was hoping that you would say so.
I don't know what Al Graham Bell was drinking. I mean, I want to know what kind of milk he was drinking.
That was probably pre-pasteurization, was it not? What year was pasteurization invented?
I don't know. When did he invent it?
You got 10 seconds.
When come on, Hembo, can you figure out pasteurization?
Five, invent. Four, the answer, 1864.
Carlin versus Joe next.
for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.